Secretary's not here today, so he throws me off. Okay, now I'm ready. Okay, good morning. Thanks for joining our Mashiach Matters class. We are holding in Perek Chav Dalet, that's chapter 24 in Bereishis. We're holding by right at the beginning in Parshas Chayesara, the pasuk of Avraham Zakein. And Avram came in age. Zakein became old. Baba Yamim, he came in his days. And Vahashem Berachas Avram Bakol. And Hashem benched Avram with everything. Obviously, this is a summarization of Avram's life. And in all the classes that we learned from the beginning of the story of Avram, the main idea that we had developed in the earlier classes was that there was that the progression from a dark world, from a world that is full of chaos and darkness and confusion, to the beautiful world of Mashiach, the fixing, what we might say, tikkun olam, the fixing of the world, begins with Avram Avinu. 2,000 years, it says, is chaos, and then after 2,000 years begins 2,000 years of Torah, which Torah, the idea of Torah is to correct the world, to sort things out, to separate the bad from the good, and to create the world for the last 2,000 years. That's called Yomos HaMashiach. Because Chazal, the sages, divide the 6,000 years into three segments. 2,000 years when we have a mess, 2,000 years of repair, 2,000 years of enjoying the repair of the world, which is called Mashiach. We are already living almost at the end of the 2,000 years of the repaired world, which is telling us already how different the world was way back then, if this is already the perfect, more repaired world. But yet, within these 2,000 years, we expect Mashiach to come. And not only that, we're expecting, or we're witnessing, if anybody's been listening to the other classes, we're kind of witnessing the redemption happening right now in front of our eyes. In a nutshell, being that the forefathers, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, were the pioneers of the Jewish people, and they're the fathers of the Jewish people. So in a microcosm, Avram, Yitzhak, in the lives of the others, you have the entire journey. And therefore, when you come to the conclusion of Avram Avinu's life, which is this pasuk, basically everything is over. What's happening at this point and onward is Avram is now preparing Yitzchak to take over. He's looking for a wife for Yitzchak. But Avram Avinu, in terms of his avoda, has kind of come to an end. He's finished, he's done. So at this point, Avram Avinu is entering already into the days of Mashiach. Now, on a personal level, Avram Avinu achieved redemption and perfection and already the light of Mashiach right after his circumcision. The end of Parshas Lech Lecha, when Avram Avinu has his bris, he's already, all the klipa, all the shells, all that which is obscuring and blocking godly light from his soul has been totally removed. And that's why the beginning of Parshas Vayera, Vayera Elav Hashem, Hashem appears to him. And we know, as we've spoken in those classes, Hashem took the sun out of its sheath, which means it became very hot that day, Kachom Hayom. That's all representing the Mashiach, the world, where Hashem's light will not be blocked by a sheath, by the name of Elohim, which is the name of concealment, which is Gematria, Hateva, nature, when nature conceals and blocks. So when Mashiach comes, it's going to be, the main idea of Mashiach is, we're talking about a time of incredible godly revelation. Avram Avinu in his personal life already achieved that at the beginning of Parshas Vayera. However, that's his personal life, that's not the world. In Parshas Vayera, we have Avram Avinu preparing Mashiach for the world as well, not just for himself. That's why the next story, right after Avram's great revelation, is the destruction of Sodom, which on the one hand is getting rid of that which is dark. getting rid of, nullifying, pulling out the weeds, that which is corrupt in this world, that's one thing. But something much deeper, as we discussed in Parshas Vayera, Avram Avinu was doing an extraction to save Lot, who is the neshama of Mashiach, because in him is Lot's two daughters. So if you really read the story from a Mashiach Digger perspective, you see that, okay, he's already in that world. Now he needs to bring the world with him. So he's preparing the neshama of David HaMelech, who's going to come from Lot and his two daughters, and that's what you see happening over there. And then you finally have, once that's all been set into motion, Avram can have his son Yitzchak. And in order to have a Yitzchak to be born, there also needed to be purification. That's Yishmal, had to be extracted so that there can be just purity. There's no more sediment in Avram Avinu. But now he's ready to set forth the Jewish people, right? But we learned in the beginning of Parshas Chayesara, in terms of all these classes, was that the completion of Mashiach in this world requires the Jewish people to manifest Hashem's kingdom in Eretz Yisrael through the Beis HaMikdash. So that last and final thing that is required, like we see in our history, we the Jewish people for thousands of years in the macro, okay, we're talking about the micro, now we're moving to the macro. As this unfolds in Jewish history, we have the long struggle through the long exile and the darkness and all of that. And that's all a purification process to the world. But finally, when we're done, we come back to the land of Eretz Yisrael and we have to rebuild the land of Israel. We have to rebuild Yerushalayim and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And eventually, after we do all these things, now Hashem can be through Yerushalayim, His light can go forth to the entire world. So after we finish purifying the world, we have to reclaim Eretz Yisrael. So in Parshas Chayesara, all the way to the end of his life, what was the first portion that we learned? The first acquisition of land, the first conquest of land becoming Jewish. And that is when Avraham Avinu bought the land of Hebron, he bought Ma'aras HaMachpelah. So Ma'aras HaMachpelah, now you have at least in the most physical sense, Eretz Yisrael becoming Eretz Yisrael. The field, the Pasuk actually describes that in the last Pesukim that we learned, that Vayakam Stei Ephron, the field of Ephron stood up, we learned in earlier classes, means it was elevated. You have elevated land ready to host Hashem. And that's why we also discussed that there's so much in burying Sarah. And the story of Sarah's burial, it wasn't about Chas V'Shalom burying, in the end of life, it was all about to prepare the soil for Tchias Ameis. Jews are all about life, and even when we, Chas V'Shalom, have to leave this world and go into the earth, the going in into the earth is to empower the earth for Tchias Ameis. Because a Jew, Sarah, we discussed that at great length in Sarah's burial. So we've already, in a sense, everything prepared in Avram Avinu's own little world. He did already the entire... He already laid the entire infrastructure for Mashiach, both personally in his own life and in terms of affecting the world, even the last and final job of beginning to make Eretz Yisrael, the conquest. He began the Well, we know Avram Avinu purchased a little piece of land from Ma'aras HaMachpelah. That was the beginning of a conquest that is going to continue when the Jewish people came in with Yeshua. We expanded that acquisition of Eretz Yisrael, but it wasn't complete. Certain parts were added later with David HaMelech, and finally, but then when Mashiach comes, we're going to have all the land of all 10 nations, and then we're going to have Eretz Yisrael in its complete, the land of Israel in its complete form, and then, of course, Hashem, the Shekhinah, can come down with all the 10 Sefirot, with all the 10 attributes to manifest in Israel, and as a result of that, there can be a total and perfect alignment of all of creation with Hashem. So when Avram Avinu begins, Mashiach is going to complete. But in Avram's own life, as a prototype, as a little pre-show, so to speak, as a little, like you're watching a trailer of the ultimate film, you see the entire thing, but in a concentrated version. This is, so Avram Avinu, to Perek Chav Dalet, he's still involved in the Avoda, in the work, which the last thing is actually reclaiming Eretz Yisrael. But now, when we go into the next parasha, and we're already done, in a sense, with Avram's life in this world, this pasuk, Avram Zakein Baba Yomim Vashem Berach as Avram Bakoil, is Mashiach, is actually Mashiach coming in Avram Avinu's life. So there has to be, so why don't we take a look in this pasuk? What do we find Mashiach in this pasuk? So I'd like to quote to everything we want to understand in the Chumash. We have to look into Chazal, into Medrash, Zohar, Medrash, and things like that. So here there's an interesting Medrash on the Pasuk, two Medrashim, very important. It says, Avram Zokain, Vahashem Beirach as Avram. So the fact that God blesses Avram, okay? This is indicative that Avram is old, it means he reached completion in his life, and Hashem benches him, which is a blessing to Avram, but it's not only a blessing to Avram, as we're going to see from this Medrash. It's a blessing to Avram, and Avram serves as a channel through which this blessing comes to all of the world. So the Medrash says like this, Avram hayom avarech es hakol. Avram is a blessing, is the one who blesses everybody. Shenemar, it says, v'nivrechu bo, kamishpachos adama. All the families of the earth are going to be blessed in him, through him. A Jew, we're all descendants of Avram, we are a blessing to the world. And a Jew must bring blessing to his surrounding. That's what we are. We are here to shed, to make people happier. We're here to bring goodness and blessing, prosperity, life, and goodness. Take a look at the world today. You see that those who are opposing the Jewish people more than anybody else are here to wreak havoc and death to the world, celebrating death. The Jewish people celebrate life, and we give life, and we give blessings. Beginning with Avram, Hashem says, V'nivruchu bo, through him, he will bring blessing. So he is the blessing to the world. But who is Avram's blesser? Who is blessing Avram? Mi berechas Avram. The Medrash says, who blesses Avram? HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevorcho. Hashem blesses Avram. It says in this pasuk, V'Hashem berach es Avraham bakol. That Hashem blesses Avram and everything. So again, Avram is a blesser, but he's also a blessed. Where does he receive his blessing? Hashem blesses Avram. From Avram, Avram blesses it, brings the blessing to the world. So the Medrash continues, well, Moshe Rabbeinu, same thing. Moshe Nisan Shel Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is the miracle of the Jewish people. Moshe is the miracle of the Jewish people. Like it says in the Pasuk, the last Pasuk of the Chumash, that all the signs and all the miracles that Moshe did, and it looks like Moshe is doing it, and Moshe really is doing it. Moshe is a miracle man. He brings miracles to the world. But who is Moshe's miracle? Umihu nisai shal Moshe. And who is Moshe's miracle? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is Moshe's miracle. Shenemar vayiven Moshe mizbeach. Moshe built an altar, a mizbeach, vayikra shemo, and he called its name Hashem Nisi, Hashem is my miracle. So Avram Avinu brings blessings to the world. Who blesses Avram? Hashem. Vashem beirach es Avram. Moshe Rabbeinu brings miracles to the world, which is a higher level. Avram is blessing. Moshe is miracles. Miracles is within blessing itself. It's a transcendental type of an energy above. And who gives that to, and who's the miracle of Moshe? Hashem is his miracle. Then we continue. David HaMelech, King David, Royon Shel Yisrael, he's the shepherd of Israel. Shenemar Ata Tires Ami Yisrael, it says in Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, you will shepherd my people. So King David, David HaMelech, is considered our shepherd. But who is David HaMelech's shepherd? Umihu Royon Shel David. Who is King David's shepherd? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem. Shenemar, as it says, Hashem ro'i, Hashem is my shepherd. Loi echsar, I can't be lacking anything. Okay? Avram Avinu is a blessing. Who blesses Avram? Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu is a miracle to the world. Who is Moshe's miracle, Hashem. David HaMelech is the shepherd of the world, or the shepherd of the Jewish people. And who is the shepherd of David HaMelech? Hashem Roi. And finally, the Medrash concludes, Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, Oirei Shel Olam is the light of the world. Shenemar v'holchu goyim l'orech. The nations will go to your light. Umi hu Oirei Shel Yerushalayim. Who is the light of Yerushalayim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is the light of Yerushalayim. Tichsiv v'hoye l'cha Hashem l'or oylam. Hashem will be your light forever. What we're seeing over here is Avram, Moshe, King David, Yerushalayim. It's a channel. And they're all facilitators of Hashem's blessings, Hashem's miracles, Hashem's nurture, and Hashem's light. And you need to have, these are the mediators, and you can hardly call them a mediator because they don't take up any space. They're just through them like a window through which all this light and godliness comes to the creation. And it's stated in this pasuk, because over here, after Avram Avinu did everything, everything is set into place, and we said already earlier, he even has a little portion of Eretz Yisrael already belonging to him. So now we're positioned in a situation where you have already the full channels, the wirings are connected for geula and redemption to come to the world. And of course, we need Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was already also, Avram Avinu did Akedas Yitzchak over there, and it was called Yerushalayim because of that. To get into all of that we discussed earlier. But you see that all this is being put into place. Now, continuing on this idea that, and I think this is, by the way, just for one moment, very, very, very important for we, the Jewish people, to be understanding right now, and for us to declare loud and clearly to everybody, to the entire world, and not to feel any hesitation or any intimidation whatsoever in saying this. The hottest issue now in the world is the status of Jerusalem. That's what people are struggling in, even in the United States Senate and Congress. Just the other day, introduced a bill in the Senate to reverse the UN resolution against the unification of, the resolution was to stop the unification of Israel as one land and to call and insist. So they issued it, but one of the senators is changing that bill when it's going now to the Congress. See, before it was in the Senate, now it's being presented to the Congress. The guy is going so far that he took out of that statement the idea of a two-state solution. In other words, the initial revocation is that we want a two-state solution. It's just that we can't force Israel to tell them how to do it. They have to decide how they're going to get to it on their own. This senator, I don't know who he is, or this congressman, is demanding that that's taken out, and he wants to present it in Congress without two-state solution. Because this whole idea of giving in people's heads that a two-state solution is the biggest klipah, to realize that this is the biggest darkness that there is now in the world. Problem is that even the Jewish world, like Netanyahu and the government, is a little afraid of the world to say it clearly. Huckabee, who is now in Israel, in Yerushalayim, is saying, what are you talking about, West Bank? What are you talking about? This is not true. There's no such a thing as West Bank. And two-state solution, who came up with this premise? That's the thing. We, the Jewish people, have to stand up and be comfortable with this, because we cannot come to Mashiach without a complete Eretz Yisrael. And if we don't have the confidence to recognize that. But what we need to say is, what this Medrash just said, this has nothing to do with us having land. We are the servants of the rest of humanity. We are responsible to bring the light, Yerushalayim Oirei Shel Olam, the ultimate blessing and light and goodness and nurture and everything we spoke about earlier, will come to the world, but it needs to go through the brain. And Yerushalayim and Beis HaMikdash is the brain. And the brain has to be occupied by brain cells, not by anything else. So you can't divide it and put in something else over there, and it doesn't belong there. And that's what the world has to understand, that this entire world is one organism. And we, the Jews, are bringing in light for the rest of the body and for the rest of it, but it has to be set that way. And when Yidden understand that and say that, the world is ready to hear it. The world is really ready to hear it. That's important to understand. Because if it's just about us having our land, okay, but once it's understood and explained that this is not for us per se, for us, but this is necessary for the world to reach its thing, people will be receptive and open because the time has come. Our insecurity in saying it, I'm just mentioning that parenthetically. Okay, now, this idea that this pasuk is bringing Avram Avinu already into the days of Mashiach, the Medrash says, the second half of the pasuk, it says, Avram Zakein became old, Baba Yamim, and Hashem blessed Avraham Bakol with everything. So the Medrash says, what does it mean, Bakol? Hashem blessed him with everything. So they say there are three people that Hashem gave them a taste of the world to come. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We're all given a taste of the world to come. How do you know that? Because it says Bakol. Avram, it says, Vashem Beirach as Avram Bakol, with everything. Yitzchak, how do we know? Because by Yitzchak it says Mikol. He says to Esav, he says, please bring me food, and I will bless you. Va'ochel, and I will eat Mikol, from everything. Yaakov says the word Kol. When Esav tells him, I don't want to take your gift. And Yaakov says to him, don't worry, you can take it. Yeshli Kol, I have everything. So by Avram it says Bakol. By Yitzchak it says Mikol. And by Yaakov it says Kol. These three words, Bakol, Mikol, Kol, which we say by benching all the time, Ken Yevarech Yisanu Bakol, Mikol, Kol, Kimoishen is Baruch Hu Ava Kimoishen Berech, just like our fathers were blessed, Bakol, Mikol, Kol. What does that mean? In the world that we're living today, there will always be lacking. There cannot be perfection. The world as it is today is an imperfect world. There is no perfection. It's essentially lacking. Today's days we receive the energy, the life force from the moon, which the moon is representing the Shekhinah, and the moon has a chisaron. She's not full. She only gets full at a certain time, and even when she fills up, she begins to lose that light. The very nature of existence, bizman hazeh, as long as there's still good and evil within the world, is one of lacking. So a person cannot have everything. You can have a lot of this and a lot of that. You can't have everything. But in the future world, the world of Mashiach, where Hashem's infinite light will shine in the world, there won't be anything lacking, then we're going to have everything. That's why Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were the only ones who used the words, or at least the Torah says by them, that they said everything. Avram said, Hashem blessed him with everything. Yitzchak, Mikol, Yaakov, Kol, which means that so the sages say, what do you mean? How can you have everything? How can you have Kol? The answer is you can have everything because they were already reached. Hashem gave them a foretaste of the future world. That goes perfectly with what we were learning about till now, that each and every one of them arrived to the days of Mashiach, because if this is what we, the children, need to do, it's like a father shows his child how to do or a mother doing homework. This is how you do the thing. Now here's the pen. Now you do it. They did it in 120, 130 years, 100 whatever years, because they were super souls. Us, it's taking a few thousand years to do what they got done. But our avoda is to reach to the kol state. And we're going to get to that kol state, and we're already entering into the kol state. But Avram now you can start seeing that, if we can start, it's just coming to me right now. I mean, today's days, there is, for the first time in history, I don't know exactly to put down this, there is enough food to feed every person in the planet. We need to figure out how to redistribute things in a way that it arrives everywhere. In other words, with all the technology that we have today, we have the means to remove, we can start seeing that the lacking elements that there are lacking within the world could technically, scientifically even, come to an end very soon. Enough ways of producing. With today's technology, you can even take seawater and turn it into drinking water and things like that, so that there should never be a drought. There should never be... I mean, these things have not yet been completely developed. Also in the terms of medicine and all these things which should be able to... anti-aging. All these things which are all representing a world without anything lacking. Ultimately, what's really lacking in the human soul is purpose and meaning. That's the real lacking. But when the world is going to be filled with God's light, then even that won't be lacking. So we will have everything. The first ones who had a life in which they said they had everything were Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and that is Bakol, Mikol, Kol. That's what it says. Fine. To understand this a little deeper, the significance of right now, what the Torah is saying it now, now is when Avram arrives to everything. So we need to understand that that perfect, beautiful world that Mashiach is introducing, which is going to be a world that has Hiskalalut, it's got everything to it, there's nothing lacking, is not a new world independent from our world. It's not like that magical world that Hashem is going to roll open for us when Mashiach comes. It's a direct derivative of all the work we've done in the last thousands of years of purifying our world that we have now. And that is hinted to in the word Bakol. Meaning, not stam, it's wonderful to have a beautiful, utopian, Mashiachtig world. The real pleasure and the real light, delight and enjoyment of it is that we're going to see that that's the collective fruits of labor, of all the work that we've done in our darkest struggles, in our most hearted, most difficult challenges. And why is that? There's a pasuk, so to emphasize what the word Bakol is. We're very familiar in davening. Now, here's a shocking statement that most people don't know. In davening, we say every day, Yotzer Or, Hashem creates light, Ubore Choshech, He forms light and He creates darkness. Oser Shalom, He makes peace. Ubore Es HaKol, and He creates everything. So you got the word Kol. What most people don't realize is that the sages tweaked a pasuk. The original pasuk is a pasuk in Yeshaya, in Isaiah. And in the pasuk in Yeshaya Hanavi, it says this exact words, Yoitzer Or, Bore Choshech, Oseh Shalom, and the next words are pretty shocking, Ubore Es Hara, and He created evil. The sages didn't want to put that into davening, that we should say Ubore Es Hara. So the Gemara says they did Lishna Ma'alya. They tried to speak positive speech, not negative speech. So they go ahead and they change the pasuk, and they said instead, Ubore Es HaKol, and they created everything. Everything meaning what? Hashem created everything. And obviously, if God created everything, you understand that the evil and all the bad stuff that are in the world is also... But we don't want to focus on the negative. We don't want to say that God is responsible. That makes God look pretty bad, right? That Hashem created evil. Oh, so we don't want to say that. So we say it in a nice way, and you get the hint. Boris Akoli creates everything, that even bad stuff God also created. But we need to understand. I mean, this Chachamim can't just come around and switch along a pasuk just to make it nicer. I mean, if the pasuk says Ra, and they're telling you Kol, so there must be that there is some inherent connection between the word Kol and Ubore Es Hara, and that He creates bad. So here the Tzemach Tzedek says something fascinating in development of this. And he says very simple. Kol, we just discussed earlier, is the perfect world of Olam Haba. Kol, which represents a situation where there is nothing lacking. Now, in order for nothing to be lacking, that can only be when there is the infinite present. Whenever there is finite, there can always be more. We always know the rule. The rule is when you have 100, you want 200. You have 200, you want 400. You can never be satisfied. But that rule only applies when you're dealing with finite whatever. Once you're dealing with everything, you have it all. There's no increase that necessary. There could be increase, but not in a manner where that you're still lacking. It can't be any lacking because the infinite is present. So the Olam Haba world means that the physical world that we have now is going to experience the infinite light of God, and therefore it's hakol, it's everything. Question, however, is how do we take the world that we have now and introduce it to the infinite? Or how do we introduce the infinite into the world? Problem is that an infinite light should, by its very definition, destroy our finite creation. Our finite creation is finite. It's a finite container, and you can't introduce an infinite energy into a finite container without busting the container. Obviously understood. So how does our world going to end up with the coal? The answer is God gave us the secret to it, and that is he created the Ra. And through our tinkering with the Ra, which is evil and bad, and through our working with it, first subduing it, then diminishing it, and then weakening it, and then slowly but surely sweetening it, and then finally completely transforming it, then when all that process goes through with the Ra and through the Ra, then from the darkness itself, this will reveal and draw forth the infinite light of God, the kol world of Mashiach. In other words, you cannot have the kol world of Mashiach without the Ra. And that's when the sages are saying, Obore Ra, and they put Obore Asakol. They're saying, take a look deeper. Why did God create Ra? He didn't create Ra just for the sake of Ra. He created Ra so that we, as a result of our struggles with it, can expand our vessels, our containers, to be able to one day host something that's called everything. So what is the idea in that? Where do we find that the secret to the infinite is dafka through our struggles with darkness? So we find that right at the beginning of creation. It says that when Hashem created the human being, after every day when Hashem finished his creation of the day, Hashem said, "Hinei tov," it's good. When Hashem created the human being, in the end it says, "Hinei tov ma'od," it is very good. So the sages make the most astounding statement. They say, "Tov zemala chayim." Tov, that's the angel of life. That's good. Angel of life is associated with angel, the Yetzer Tov, the good inclination. So it brings you to life. Yiddishkeit is life. Mitzvahs are life. So what inspires you to do a mitzvah? Your Yetzer Tov. So the Malach of life is synonymous with the Yetzer Tov. But the sages say, it doesn't say Hinei Tov. It says Tov Ma'od, very good. The extra word Ma'od, very, what does very mean? Zem Malach HaMavis, that's the angel of death. Which means the angel that gets us involved in elements of death, which is the Yetzer Hara. So who is the Tov Ma'od? What is very, very good? That's the Yetzer Hara. So how can the Yetzer Hara be very bad, very good? And the answer is exactly that. Ma'od, the word Ma'od means very much. And you can't say very much unless you have the infinite. As long as you have a lot, but it's possible for you to have more, it's not very much. Very much means you have endless. Okay. So here is the thing. The only way to reach, to touch, to connect to the boundless, infinite light of God, that which is higher than all containers and all vessels, that which one we might say is uncontainable in a container, because if it's contained in a container means it's finite. So that which is it's uncontainable in a container, and yet we're able to contain those, that infinite light. That's an impossibility, and yet that's the goal. So how is that possible? That is only possible through our struggling with darkness, not through light. And this is a concept we've discussed so many times, that there is two two realms in existence. And the two realms are what we call Olam HaTohu, the world of chaos, and then there is Olam HaTikun, the world of Tikun. The world of Tohu was the first, Hashem's first attempt, so to speak, in creating a world. The first, we might say, the first stage in creating the world, where Hashem projected his infinite goodness and kindness and his energy and his light and his creative potential. And Hashem projected that energy into vessels, because that's the whole point of creating a world. There should be someone who could contain it. But it says that the containers could not hold the light. And because the containers couldn't hold the light, they shattered and they broke. And the light went back into its source. And the containers fell down. Then Hashem brought about the second world order. And that second world order is called Olam HaTikun, where he dramatically reduces his light. And he makes different kind of vessels, where the vessels are, where the new vessels are smaller vessels. Sorry, vessels are much bigger vessels. But the lights are already finite energies. And this kind of a world was able to be sustainable. The first world collapsed. It's wonderful. If you're living in a world of tikkun, you're living a very happy life. Everything is nice. Everything is wonderful. But you're stuck in finitude. You're stuck in the limitations of a creation. And even though there's no problems, there's no Yetzer Hara, there's no inclination, there's no crime. It's beautiful, it's a wonderful, it's a picture-perfect world. There's only goodness, there's only wisdom, and no stupidity, no anger, no crime, no war, no struggle. It's wonderful. That's the world of Tikkun. It would have been beautiful. But Hashem doesn't want that. Hashem wants to give us his everything. That's why he initially emanated his infinite light. He didn't have to emanate his infinite light. He could have emanated his finite light. But he wants us to receive his infinite light. Problem is, we can't receive that infinite light because we're not vessels for it. So what did he do? He caused those first vessels to break. Those vessels that broke fell down into the lower realm, and it becomes the source for all things that are unholy and ungodly in this world, primarily Yetzer Hara and evil, whatever negative forces and elements in this world. It's all from the debris, as we spoke so many times, the debris of that shattered world of time. When we, through our immense struggles that we all have to struggle with within our own Yetzer Hara, first subdue the Yetzer Hara, then channel it, and then direct it. What we're really doing is we're elevating these little shards, these little pieces, back to its source where it once received the infinite light of God. And when we make that connection, we're now opening up some kind of a Wi-Fi connection back to those infinite lights that were once shining. But since now we struggled through the darkness and kind of reconnected this shattered shard back to its source, and we integrate that shard into our rectified selves, we are now expanding ourselves infinitely to be able to receive that infinite light. That's why only the birur and the tikkun of the Yetzer Hara brings us to Tov Ma'od. We can only reach Tov Ma'od. See, the purpose of Yetzer Hara is eventually it will bring us to something that is infinitely higher than our Yetzer Tov. And that's the meaning of why Ra and Bakol are the same thing. Because Bakol means infinite energy. The experience of Olam Haba. The experience of only Olam Haba can only come as a result of the tikkun, the rectification of the Ra that's in this world. Or else we can't come to that Olam Haba experience. Similar to this idea, the dafka, our rectification of the physical, the earthy, the lowly, brings us, we also find within our observance of mitzvahs itself, we know that two types of mitzvahs. There are positive commandments and there are prohibitive commandments. When we're doing a positive commandment, we're kind of in a good place. We're inspired, we're giving tzedakah, we're davening, we're learning. So those areas of life it's the rectified side of ourselves. Then we have another element, and that is prohibitions. In prohibitions, you're not really doing anything positive. a person suddenly is experiencing a very strong rage and anger, and they want to have an outburst of anger. A person is experiencing an intense lust, and they want to do something they shouldn't be doing. A person wants to say something they shouldn't, whatever. All these various different things. Over here, you're dealing with just dark energies, dark elements. And when you are, and the Torah instructs us, what? The 365 prohibitions. You may not do them. And a person has to withhold. Now, it's amazing. In our own minds, we think that in those moments, we are in a very, very ugly, dark place. And it's not meaningful, our life, in those moments. We wish it wouldn't happen. We so wish we wouldn't have to deal with our dark demons that we're plagued with. It's so much nicer to have Shabbos. It's so much nicer to have these wonderful sheer moments, learning moments, enlightenment moments. But as a human being, we will experience both. But here's the thing, we have to realize we're serving God in both. And here's the secret. It says that Hashem's name has four letters, Yud-Kei and Vav-Kei. The Yud, the tetragrammaton, Yud. It says that the prohibitives, when a person fulfills a prohibited commandment, they're connecting to the Yud-Hei of Hashem's name. When a person fulfills a positive commandment, they're connecting to the Vav and the Hei, the latter two letters. And we know that the Vav and the Hei of Hashem's name is already limited light. The Yud and the Hei of Hashem's name is infinite light. So the same idea that we spoke about before, Dafka, when we subdue and fight with the dark elements of the world, it puts us in touch with that which is infinite and transcendental. So in the losase, which you think is like, what did I do today already? I didn't do anything. I was fighting a demon inside of me all day long that wanted me to say something not nice to someone or hurt me. Or I'm fighting this anger, or I'm dealing with this other desire, and I have to, like, I'm not even, guess what? And today is your most meaningful day in your life, much more than when you're in a place of enlightenment and all that. Because over there, you're serving Hashem within containers, within limited vessels. Here you're touching the infinite. Now, that's the two meaning, the two parts of the pasuk over here. The Avram Zakein, Avram aged, Ba Bayamim, he came in his days, which means he comes in his days, we discussed other times. Day means light. Avram Avinu has light, which means he has mitzvahs, all the positive things that he did. And the Zohar says there wasn't a day that he didn't do a mitzvah. Those are the positive things that he did. Avram Zakein, Ba Bayamim, that's all part of the rectified elements related to the Yetzer Tov, related to the good side of life. Mitzvahs you're doing, Shabbos, Tefillin, Tzedakah, all those positive, wonderful things. That's all called Yamim, that's called days. Vashem Beirach, but God blesses Avram Avinu Bakol. Bakol is referring to the infinite, that's already the Tov Ma'od element, that's the Yetzer Hara. Avram Avinu was perfect in his fulfillment of the prohibitive commandments as well, which is what brings him, Dafka the Bakol, which as we said before is the substitute of the word Ra. You look in Yeshaya, what's the word that says in the Pasuk? Hashem creates bad. But what is bad substituted with the word Bakol? Because your ticket to the infinite is only through Yetzer Hara that one overcomes, subdues, and even transforms. And that's how we reach Bakol, which is the infinite. That's why the sages say an amazing, and that's what fits. The Medrash says, I'm going to conclude with this. The Medrash says on the words, Vashem Beirach Es Avram Bakol, the Medrash says, this teaches us, aside for that he brings him to Olam Haba, Shehishlito Al Yitzro. What's the blessing that God gave him? He gave him dominion over his Yetzer Hara. What does that mean? How can and why is that the same medrash? Why is this the same medrash that we had just mentioned? The same medrash that says that God brought him, gave him a taste of Olam Haba, says that Hashem had empowered him over his Yetzer Hara. The answer is, it's one thing. The empowerment of the Yetzer Hara is what leads you to Bakol, to that infinite light, to the energies that are infinite, that are that which is beyond vessels, beyond containers. We find that when Adam HaRishon was created, it says right away, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es Adam, and God Elokim created man. It says both names of Hashem, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es Adam. The word Vayitzar, which means he formed, is spelled with two yuds. Grammatically, it should have been only one yud, Vayitzar, but there's two yuds. It's almost like it would say Vayitzar. Yud, yud, tzadik resh. So the sages say, what's the extra yud? Because Vayitzer comes from the word Yetzer, and Hashem gave a human being two Yetzers. He gave him the Yetzer Tov, and the second Yud is the Yetzer Hara. Vayitzer Elokim. But interesting, the second one is not pronounced. The first one is pronounced. Vayitzer. The second Yud is hidden. It's not pronounced. Why? Because when Hashem created Adam, Hashem didn't create him with a good inclination and a bad inclination. Hashem created him with two holy energies, a finite holiness that can go into his vessels and an infinite, powerful, gevuradige holiness, a very intense holiness. That's one is coming from Shem Yudke Vavke, and the other one is coming from the name of Elokim, which the name of Elokim is Gevura. But it's an initial place. Gevura is not bad, chas v'shalom. Gevura is intense holiness, holiness of the infinite. When Hashem created Adam, he created him with these two Yetzers, Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. But the Yetzer Hara was not bad. The Yetzer Hara was that intensity that the Yetzer Hara has that is supposed to be subdued or subservient to the Yetzer Tov, using that intensity for godly matters, being intensely holy. That's why the second Yud is not even felt, because it's the Yetzer Hara was kind of included in the goodness of the Yetzer Tov. After he sinned with the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, his Yetzer Hara became corrupted, similar to what we learn in today's Tanya, that a person will not have a Yetzer Hara to do sins. That's not a Jewish Yetzer Hara. That's a non-Jewish Yetzer Hara. In order to desire to do an Avera, you have to first corrupt your Yetzer Hara to become a non-Jewish Yetzer Hara. And then it can do an Avera. It wants to do an Avera. So that's what happened. Initially, when Hashem created Adam HaRishon, he created him with a Yetzer Tov and an intensity which is supposed to be subservient to the Yetzer Tov, and then it's only good. His sin caused the Yetzer Hara to depart, fall, and it became real ra. It became real bad. When Mashiach comes, it's not that Yetzer Hara won't be there. The Yetzer Hara is going to be restored back to the two Yuds by Yitzer, where it's back to its original state, where it's Gevura that's bottled to Chesed and part of it. And that's going to happen when Mashiach comes. Who is the first person who has arrived to that? It was Avram Avinu at this place. That's the meaning, Vashem Beirachas Avram Bakol. Kol is, as the sages say, Hashem empowered him over his evil inclination. This is the evil inclination in its most sublime state, in its original state, after it has fallen, replay, put back, and as we said earlier, dafka, this inside the human being, brings us to the bakol, which bakol means the infinite and the boundless. And this is where Mashiach comes from. So we see in this pasuk, we have not just do we have Mashiach, but we have a Mashiach as a result of everything that happened. Yes. Yeah, there is a difference between them. In general, they're all one inyan. They're all arrived to the kol experience. But in them itself, bakol, mikol, kol. I mean, I saw other explanations not necessarily related to what we spoke about. So to understand it in the context of the giluy of Mashiach, called bakol, and what's the difference between bakol and mikol, kol, I haven't seen them yet. All right. Everyone should have a really good week. I'll see you all, Be'ez Hashem, next week, Thursday.